Welcome to In Focus. My name is Bob Perreault, and we are very pleased to have with us live in the studio for the first time in well over 2 years, the mayor of Rideau Lakes, Mr. Ari Hoogenboom. Ari, thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
We've spoken a number of times over the course of the pandemic, and I remember yours was one of the first communities to declare a state of emergency, and we spoke about that the day after you declared it. And I have to commend you too, that you and the entire staff at Rideau Lakes, very proactive in the early days and throughout the pandemic in getting the message out there. You had those reminder signs that were out on municipality signs and just all these different things, and I think you were great at communicating.
Well, we do find that being transparent and being communicative with our residents is extremely important. And yes, it was a tough time going through COVID, because a lot of the fun things that go with being a local politician were canceled. And yeah. We had to go to Zoom and Teams, and weren't able to interact with our citizens the way we like to.
This is the first time I've seen you in person and seen you from, you know, the waist down, because we've done a number of Zoom meetings and so on. So it is good to have you here. Thanks again for being here. We really appreciate it. And, you know, full disclosure, I love Rideau Lakes. We have our summer property, a trailer at Bass Lake Lodge out there. We spend a lot of times in Rideau Lakes. It is a beautiful area. And it's bigger than a lot of people either realize or thought, right?
Absolutely. Folks don't realize that Rideau Lakes is the size of Metro Toronto geographically. And we've got more people than people think as well. We've got roughly 11,000 permanent residents and 9,000 seasonal residents. And we've been growing by leaps and bounds. We're the second largest municipality in all of Leeds and Grenville, just slightly behind North Grenville, which, of course, benefits from that spin-off from the city of Ottawa a little bit more than we might.
Yeah, absolutely. Kempville, it continues to grow and grow, like we've seen in Carleton Place here in Lanark County as well. You're right. Now, before we get any further, just wanted to congratulate you on your re-election in October. Just your thoughts looking back on that election.
Well, I'm in my second term now, and I'm very appreciative of the level of support that I received from the public. Very strong personal mandate that I received. I received 72% of the vote, which was a significant increase from when I first ran for mayor. And we have a good council. We have a good mix of veterans and three newcomers. And that's been the history of Rideau Lakes, that with a 9-member council, we tend to have about 3 new people every 4 years. And that brings a new perspective, new challenges, and we're willing and able to move forward with the group that we have.
And it's always great to have those, as you said, like the new perspectives and different varied experiences, you know, like people coming from these greatly different backgrounds.
Absolutely. And we tend to find that with rural municipal councils, we're dominated by seniors. People who have taken early retirement, people who, because they tend to be part-time jobs, which is what they end up being. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we don't get younger people stepping up, because simply the time commitments are, and you know, they've got children, and those priorities obviously come first if you've got those family commitments. But we do have a good mix of occupations. We do have a good mix of male and female members. So that I'm certainly pleased with that.
Yeah, for sure. Something else that is probably sneaking up, and people don't even realize it, because we hear about, you know, 200th anniversaries and coming up. There's one in Mississippi Mills that's coming up not too long ago. Of course, the town of Perth and surrounding areas celebrating that milestone as well. But coming up for Rideau Lakes is the 25th anniversary. And I mean, fairly young municipality when you look at Rideau Lakes, but made up of several municipalities with a very rich history.
Absolutely. We came together in 1998 with five rural municipalities. We had North Crosby, the village of Newborough, South Crosby, the Bastard and Burgess, and the South Elmsley. And those five municipalities came together on January the 1st, 1998, and a few days later, of course, they had the ice storm. And I was working in Smith Falls at the time for the town of Smith Falls, so I'm quite familiar with the ice storm and the challenges, particularly in rural in the rural areas. And certainly, you know, when you're faced with an emergency and a crisis like that, you you come together. And I think we've been coming together for 25 years. So it's great. We're having a small celebration at the Newborough Community Hall this Saturday from 2 to 4. So the public is invited to that. We do ask that people consider registering for that so that we have an idea of the numbers. And that can be done through our economic development coordinator, Marie White. So give her a call if you're interested in attending. We will have the two former mayors of Rideau Lakes there. We will have our member of the provincial parliament there. We'll have the warden of Leeds and Grenville there. And, you know, it'll be a time to reminisce a little bit about some of the issues and some of the things that have occurred to us over the last 25 years.
And you've been, as you said, you know, working in Smiths Falls and living in the region for as long as you have. Have you seen sort of each different municipality likes to develop its own sort of culture, its identity? And here we are still, you know, relatively in the infancy of all of those communities coming together as Rideau Lakes. But do you see that developing there?
I see a little bit of the development of us coming together. We have a ward system, which can be a challenge sometimes because people are elected in their ward and they tend to look out for the priorities in their own specific district. What I've encouraged over the last number of years is that we need to take a regional approach. We need to look at what's good for Rideau Lakes as a whole rather than just what's good for my part of Rideau Lakes. And I think that that's happened to a considerable extent, and it needs to continue to happen because we are one municipality. One of the challenges for the mayor, of course, is to make sure that improvements that are made are distributed right across the entire region, that they aren't sort of focused on one particular community or one particular ward.
How do you do that? Because, I mean,
well,
every community has their own needs, right?
Absolutely. And the ward councillors are very good for making, the rest of council aware of what their community needs are. But we found that over the years, you know, with road improvements, with we've standardized our waste services to include the private roads that were in decent enough shape for our trucks to go down. You know, so we've, over the years, as we've grown as a single municipality, we've come to the realization that, you know, we keep the community halls, for example, in many of the wards open, whereas most municipalities our size would have one library, one community hall. You know, we have four or five of each of those. And that's been very important for community pride and for keeping our community feeling like they're engaged with their local government.
Now, of course, all of this costs money, and when it comes to budgets, certainly you have the township budget, and then there's the county budget as well, so there's a lot to take into account as you try to get these projects off the ground, get them funded, and get things put in place to improve the lives of the people of Rideau Lake. So let's start with at the county level.
Sure. Folks have to understand that we're one of 10 municipalities at the county level of Leeds and Grenville, and I'm the sole representative there. We have a county budget of about $112 million. So it's not a small operation by any stretch of the imagination. Roughly a little bit more than half of that budget is on capital work, and the other half is on operational. And the county looks after county roads, bridges, social services, daycare, childcare, housing, paramedics. Those are the key services that are delivered at the county level. And so, for example, last year, the largest expenditures was $32 million on roads and bridges. And we are projecting, right now we're working through that budget process. The first draft that came to us in the last week or two suggested an 11% increase. At the meeting, I made it quite clear that I couldn't support that and wouldn't support that. And we're working through that to sort of make sure that what staff has indicated as a priority
is supported. You mean an 11% increase, like tax increase?
Yes.
I thought you meant 11% increase to the roads budget.
No, 11%.
Oh, my goodness, 11% increase. That's massive and unheard of.
Well, it is, but you have to recognize that we're dealing with inflationary pressures, fuel pressures, those kinds of things. And in some cases, we're looking at some changes in service levels as well. Now, I don't want to panic the public. There will not be an 11% increase at the county. People have to understand that The county budget makes up a part of your local tax bill. It's roughly 36% of your local tax bill is county, roughly 16% is school board, and the balance, a little over 50%, is township. Okay? So although the township is the one that sends out the bills and collects the money, a lot of people think, oh my God, you know, I'm paying $3,000 in taxes or whatever the case might be. That's a lot of money to be giving the township. Well, in effect, we get a little, only a little more than half of that.
Yeah.
So absolutely, this is the start of the budget process. It's also the start of the budget process at the township level. And at the township level, we also have a large, what I would call a large corporation, a large operation. We have a $20 million budget last year,
mm-hmm.
okay? $14 million of that was operations, and roughly $6 million of that was capital. And again, we're anticipating a potential increase in the township budget and the township taxes. The first draft that's come forward, I expect, will be in the 6% range, and we'll work to try to mitigate that as much as we can, recognizing that the people in Rideau Lakes expect good services and get good municipal services. So we have to be careful that we're not looking at it simply from the perspective of, well, let's cut the services to make sure that we have no tax increase. We had about a 2.5% tax increase last year, for example. So that's well within inflation and things of that nature.
Yeah, and absolutely, Rideau Lakes, like many other communities, if not all of them, did everything possible to keep those tax increases down as much as possible during the pandemic, because for a lot of people, they were not making the same money that they before the pandemic. And we know that that was done. We saw it in Smiths Falls. We saw it here in Perth. We saw it all over the place. Rideau Lakes, no exception. That was something that was certainly put in place. We knew, and again, I'm not trying to defend any move or whatever, because nothing is set in stone with Rideau Lakes, for example, but we knew that something had to give. And then, of course, inflation being what it is, you had to know something was coming. Although, I'm not in favor of $9 lettuce. You know, I'm just going to put that out. I know you have nothing to do with that whatsoever. So when you talk about, some of the capital projects that have been done, I mean, there are many highlights, aren't there?
Absolutely. At the county, let me start at the county level.
Sure.
Mapleview Lodge is the biggest project that the county has ever taken on. It's a 192-bed long-term care expansion. It's in the range of $80 million, and it's under construction in Athens. And, you know, we might not think that Athens is a place that we'd end up for long-term care, but in Leeds and Grenville, a lot of Rideau Lakes Township, move south to when they're looking for long-term care, whether it's St. Lawrence Lodge or some of the private facilities that are out there. And we have, we have a 60-bed facility in Athens now, which we will work towards repurposing, and we're building a brand new 192-bed facility in behind. And so that's a major project.
It's state-of-the-art. Like it's
going to be state-of-the-art, and it's going to be, but it's an expensive undertaking.
Absolutely.
And we've been working hard with the provincial government to make sure that we get our fair share of funding for that. They don't tend to do an upfront major grant for that. They tend to give you a grant based on per bed, occupied bed over the next 20 years, for example. So we are going to have to borrow funds. The good news for the county is that they have debt capacity, and they have a significant amount of dollars in reserves. So we are going to try to mitigate that as much as we can to make sure that as interest rates rise, we don't have to borrow the full $80 million, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The second project at the county that's significant is the twinning of Highway 43, or County Road 43 now, through Kempville. And that's about a $40 million project. And that is going to start shortly. We have to build a second bridge over the Kempville Creek, and we have to buy or expropriate roughly 15 properties to make this thing work. The engineering and the design work is 95% complete in this project. So I expect people will start to see disruptions in that area fairly soon. The third thing I can talk about at the county that's important to this region is that we are looking at a new service level for paramedics out of Westport. And that would increase our coverage by one vehicle for 12 hours per day, 7 days a week. And that is being looked at to reduce response times. We have some of the poorest response times in all of Leeds and Grenville in North Leeds. And it's to be expected, I guess, because you're the closest ambulance depot or center is in Elgin. So you've got a fair bit of distance to travel if you're covering north of the Westport, for example.
Yeah.
Now, ambulance services, they're like police services. The closest ambulance responds. So it may be coming from Perth. You know, it may be coming from Kingston. You don't know when you call an ambulance or when you call 911. But we've had some success with this sort of experimental program in the Athens areas, which used to have our worst response times. We now have one of these units in Athens, and we're seeing a significant drop in response times. And I'm talking, you know, going from 17, 18, 15 minutes average response time down to 10 or 12 minutes. And that doesn't sound like a lot.
Well, it could be huge.
It could be huge if you're waiting for the ambulance.
Yeah.
So, but it comes at a cost. So clearly, if you're adding another ambulance and two staff people and all of the equipment that goes with it and a station to put this stuff in, we're looking at that as an enhanced service in our county budget. In terms, should I go on with the township budget then, give you an idea?
Well, yeah, absolutely, because I know there's a couple of big projects here that we want to talk about, one of them being the fire hall.
Certainly. We lost our fire hall not this past December, but the prior December in Portland. Council made a decision that they were planning to build a new fire hall. It'll be built in the South Elmsley Ward, because that's where our largest population base is that does not have access to a local fire department. And most of that cost will be covered by insurance. We were fortunate to be able to obtain three new fire vehicles that mm-hmm. were lost in that fire. And the building, the insurance company will have to come good for a new building. Now, of course, you know, there'll be some arguments with the insurance company over this, which there always is, because it was, you know, it was a small three-bay garage, way too small for the vehicles. You know, like you had to walk sideways between the vehicles to be able to get into them. And, of course, when we build a new fire hall, it's going to be a bit larger. So a portion of that cost is going to have to be carried by the local taxpayers. But the good news is we end up with a new facility, with new vehicles, an opportunity to recruit more volunteers from that end of the township, and at a much reduced cost. So that's one of the projects that will be going forward. In fact, we're very close to receiving proposals for architectural services for that station.
All right. Now, we are running a little bit short on time. I know there's a lot more that we want to talk about here, Ari, but there are a couple big things that you did want to bring up and make sure that we talk about. I'll let you pick a couple of those, but first I did want to ask about the by-election in Bastard and South Burgess Ward.
Okay, we are of course very saddened by the passing of Kathy Livingston, who was our councillor, one of the two councillors from that ward. Council did recently consider three options. One was to appoint the next highest person with the next most number of votes in that ward. We have a policy that says if you receive 25% of that vote, then we should be appointing that person. In this particular case, the person that came third didn't receive the 25% of the vote. So the other options were for council to appoint someone, ask for expressions of interest, and then look at those candidates, interview those candidates, and select a candidate. And the third option was to run a by-election. The majority of council, on a split vote, opted to do the by-election. There is a cost to a by-election. It's roughly $11,000. And, you know, I had some concerns with that because, you know, there is a lot of demands on our budgets, but in the end, the majority of council felt it was appropriate to have a by-election. We do not yet have a date for that by-election, but I'm certainly going to encourage those with an interest to consider discussing that with the municipal clerk, submitting their names, and running in the by-election, which will likely occur sometime in May.
As soon as you know, let us know. We'll get the word out.
Okay. There are roughly 3,400 eligible voters in that particular ward. In the past, we've struggled to get more than a 30 or 35% turnout. But, you know, if we educate people and we encourage people to get involved in the local government process, then perhaps we can improve upon that turnout.
Absolutely. Now, it's so hard to, to pick exactly what we're going to finish up here with. But there's a group of highlights here that I think people should know. One of them is that you produce monthly videos, and that's part of the transparency and being very communicative with your residents.
Absolutely. I try to do about a 8 to 10 minute video once a month. That's part of the package that goes out online from our staff, and I just pick a different topic, and, you know, so, you know, we may be talking about the county budget, or we may be talking about the municipal hub that we're hoping to build in Portland. Yeah. You know, we pick a local a current topic and try to give the public just a bit of a background. And very good following on that, you know, and of course, always hoping that more people will tune into that to learn a little bit more about what's going on in Rideau Lakes.
Absolutely. And one more highlight from you, sir, before we let you go. One more highlight.
Probably one of the biggest things that we've spent a lot of time on is the municipal hub, which is we hope to build a facility in Portland, which would be our new administrative offices combined with a library and a community hall. We've selected a site, and council in the next week or so, I'm hoping, will agree that that project needs to go out for tender. We're estimating that it's going to be about a $7.5 million project. But we've already done the homework in terms of knowing that if we're building two separate facilities, it's going to add a couple million dollars to the cost.
Sure.
Because you're going to duplicate meeting space, lunchrooms, washrooms, elevators, whatever the case might be. So we're looking at a two-story facility in downtown Portland, if I can call it downtown.
Sure.
Portland.
Yeah, we know where you're
And we have the site where the former hall was, which has been torn down in the past year because it was simply beyond repair.
Okay. Listen, we had more to cover, and I think that just means I need to have you in more often.
Well, I'd be pleased to come back anytime that you need a filler.
No, whenever we need quality content, we'll turn to Ari. There's no doubt about it. Mayor Ari Hoogenboom, thank you so much for being here today. It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure always coming to Lake 88. I love the name of the radio station. You know, it fits right in with our 37 lakes and 850 kilometers of shoreline in Rideau Lakes.
There you go. That's another edition of In Focus here on Rideau Lake 88. Hey, see what I did there?
Yeah, I saw it. Good job.
All right. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.